Hey everyone, I wanted to share some thoughts with you this morning. It's our morning time when Amy and I
start getting downloads.
Percolating. Yeah, we get some downloads on different things. And this has been something we've talked about over a long period of time, but I think it's even more important now to just have this discussion. And especially in the Christian world, or religion in general, but especially in denominational minds, you know, it's like, and we've been there, we've done this ourselves, and now looking on the other side of this, we can see how stuck people get with this mindset of everything having to be backed up by chapter and verse. And what we mean by that is, you know, when you share a truth, a lot of people with a religious mindset say, well, where's that in scripture? And Amy was just sharing this morning, you know, how challenging it is to even have dialogue when, you know, when we're just speaking truth from knowing someone through relationship over written chapter and verse.
Yeah. Well, and like you're saying, even in a conversation, say you sit down for coffee or tea with somebody in a conversation, and you can feel this wall of resistance because they're waiting to hear how many scriptures you're going to use to back up the revelation that you're bringing. And it's like, what has happened to us to where we have elevated a written word, which really, guys, we got to remember that is the outcome or the byproduct of an encounter or an experience or a relational conversation with God that a person had. So it's like,
in their paradigm,
what comes first, the chicken or the egg? You know, why are we putting so much emphasis on the egg when we get to know the, you know, the mature chicken, so to speak, or whatever, you know? But there becomes such a wall of resistance, and I think even God experiences this all the time. And how many of you say to God, oh, well, God, I need a scripture and verse for that, when he's sharing revelation that is coming down, you know? And we want to fit it into a, you know, a little tiny book, when Jesus said all the books of the world couldn't contain all the miracles and revelation, all the things that he did. And who are we to cap that, you know, that one book, which many of us know, you know, and we honor the Bible, you know, we know it's, you know, breathed on word of the Lord, but why are we elevating that above and blocking the revelation that he wants to bring in, you know, and saying, I need a chapter and verse for that, God? And God is so gracious, you know, he will, you know, say, okay, well, how about this one or how about that one, you know? But why are we putting that first above before we will actually receive the fresh revelation that he's bringing us? And I noticed this with, like, we were listening to a message this morning online, and this person's having to quote so many scriptures. Why? Because of the backlash from the other people saying, well, I need to know where that is in scripture, and why haven't you, you know, you didn't say enough scripture, and all this kind of stuff. And the reality is, we should all be discerning the message by the Spirit. You know,
that's just it.
My children, my sheep know my voice. So
yeah, and when you look back, we've said this before, but I think it's worth repeating until this just gets it absorbed into us. Is you had many key figures in the Bible itself, and the books that were taken out of the canonized versions, that didn't have a Bible in hand. They didn't have the Dead Sea Scrolls. They didn't have the parchments. They didn't have anything written in it to be able to study chapter and verse. But yet they had relation. Abraham was a friend of God. Mm-hmm. Moses was a friend of God. Now these are prior to anything ever being written in stone or on a parchment paper or anything like that. And so, you know, when people argue with that and they say, yeah, but, you know, now we do, so you should adhere to this hook, line, and sinker. Well, the truth of the matter is that there is good information in the Bible, but if we take it word by word and literally, Just like Shane Willard says, we have an awesome video on that, by the way. Then if we take it literally, then we should go ahead and stone children and stone homosexuals, and the list goes on. If we take that for today. And start sacrifices all over again. And so, you know, Jesus changed the game forever. And that's the infusion of the indwelling and becoming one with love, becoming one with Him. And so that changes everything. So when you don't have a Bible in your hand and you don't know a scripture, then you go to the Word Himself, which is a person by the Spirit inside of you, indwelling Christ in you, Christ in us, right? Mm-hmm. And so it comes back to levels of understanding, you guys. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about levels of understanding, and what we've been shown, you know, by the Lord through this is that at any given moment of time, you, us, we are all in a certain level of understanding because we're eternal beings, and we're always growing and we're always learning. So taking the posture of listening to understand is one of the most attractive qualities a human being can take on. Listening to understand in while you're reading the Bible, listening to understand while you're in conversation. And I know we're all growing in this. It's been a challenge for me personally in the past because I wanted to be right. Well, this is what the scripture says. You can't deviate from that. You know, I used to be that guy too. And, you know, here's the chapter and verse. If you do not do this, this is the consequence. Yeah, instead of saying, wait a minute, this is a beautiful conversation I want to have with you, Jesus speaking to us. I want to have this beautiful conversation. This is just what I revealed to man at their level of understanding. And I breathed on it to put it on parchment paper. And he does that still in books and messages and music.
Yeah, in your journal with you.
He still does that today.
Yeah, in your journals. And, you know, I really think the question we have to ask ourselves is, who have we built a relationship with more? God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, you know, the Trinity? Or have we built it with religion and needing, you know, every jot and tittle of the written word and all the stuff we have learned in religion? Where are we putting our security? Where, what have we given the most time to? Because that's what we're trying to hold on to, you know? And it's like, oftentimes people are afraid to invest in their relationship with the Lord because they can't, you know, it's not the five senses, so to speak. Whereas the written word and religion is a five sense experience. So it's something they can feel more, you know, anchored in. And the scary thing is then we become the book that has an end cap. We don't let any fresh revelation flow because we keep trying to bring it into that one time end cap bookend Bible. And God is always unfolding, you know, from glory to glory to glory, you know, and His mercies are new every morning. So there's so much grace to just learn and grow and expand. But we've been taught in religion to be so afraid of any new revelation coming in. But Jesus simply said, you know, taste and see that I am good, you know, test the fruit. How hard is that? We all know good tasting fruit is sweet. So let love. Is there sweetness to it? Is there love to it?
And that could go outside the box of any kind of religion.
Because He's in everything.
He's in everything and everyone.
Yes.
Now, if that bothered you right there when we said He's in everyone, then stop and think about why that kind of tweaks you.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Spirit is given by the breath of God. Ruach is the breath that gave us life. Every single human being. Our spirit, where does that come from? Our spirit comes from God.
Yep.
Every person on the planet. And so it doesn't come from the devil.
Yeah.
So we got to really think about this. It's just that we were once darkened in our understanding.
That's
we were asleep.
Is. We were enemies in our mind.
We were enemies in our mind, the scripture says, right? In our own mind.
God always was loving us.
He was always loving us, and he was always there. We just woke up and said, oh, you've always been there.
It's like the story of the prodigal son.
That's right.
He made up the enemy in his own mind. He was the one holding himself back from his father.
That's exactly. Mm-hmm. But he was always there, you know, and he's always chasing him down.
Arms open wide.
So when you think about defending something, you know, I used to be the great defender of the truth because somebody had to as a prophet or a leader or somebody, you know.
I'm going
to
do this for God.
Yeah, I got to do this for God.
Instead of with him, for God.
And I got checked on that years ago. It was funny. This 19-year-old guy came up to me and he said, listen, I have a message from God for you. And I was like, okay. And I knew he heard from God because I'd been around him enough. And he goes, God doesn't need defending.
Yeah.
And he, you know, in other words, he's a big boy all by himself. And he doesn't need our defending of him or scripture. And the moment we drop that stance is when, this is when God can actually turn the light bulb on in somebody's understanding to see that, oh, that's what it was. Have you ever been in conversation with somebody and you didn't say a word and they say, oh, thank you so much, that's the answer I've been looking for?
Yeah, this is the best conversation I've ever had.
Well, it's because presence. You allowed presence to take over. Mm-hmm. You allowed God to do what he wanted to do to be all along. They just needed a sounding board.
Speaking without words, you know, your body language.
Yeah,
exudes from you. Yeah.
I just think that as Christians, as we're growing, as we're maturing, as we're learning, as we're coming into this new era, this awakening that we've been in globally,
mm-hmm.
we would do ourselves a really, really great favor and humanity.
Yes.
As if we drop this thing of having to be right, drop this stance that we have on scripture saying, well, scripture says, you show me chapter and verse. Well, the moment we do that, we shut the other person down, because not only if they don't know who he is, they're going to feel like, oh, well, I don't know anything, and okay, I guess I need to come to you for the truth. They're going to feel less than or inadequate, but also it shuts the conversation down from being a listening ear.
Yeah.
And what does the world need more than anything right now are listening ears.
Mm.
And I know that some people are so stuck in this patriotic political thing that they're already defensive right out of the gate. And I know what that's like. I've been there. Where we're just defensive right out of the gate because we see a liberal or a gay person, or we see somebody that has this understanding that just, quote, seems wacko, you know, or weird or strange. And so we automatically go into defense mode, like, I got to make sure nothing jumps off on me, and to make sure that, you know, nothing gets near me that defiles my life, kind of thing. And that is so ridiculous to think that way.
It's all fear-based.
It's fear-based. We're not trusting God to let love come through and begin to transform.
Cast out all fear.
And, you know, we don't sit and really listen to the hurt and the pain and the story of someone else long enough, because we're tallying up what scripture to quote next.
Mm-hmm.
We're thinking in our thinker to say, okay, I gotta find a scripture for this person with 1,000 earrings in every orifice of their body. I gotta find a scripture to every tattoo that's consuming every part of their skin. I gotta have a scripture to why they're dropping the F-bomb towards me every 5 seconds. And you know, when we do that, it's fear.
Yeah. And it becomes obsession. It's like you become a Pharisee and you don't even know it, because now it's like you can't even see or hear the message Jesus is wanting to bring through anything and anyone. You know, I mean, okay, you know, God was talking to Paul through a donkey. It's just, why do we limit? You know, we put so much limitations and so much effort on the things God never wanted us to put effort on.
Right.
And it feels rigid. And other people feel the rigidness of it, and it's all under your fight to be right for your own self-efforting security. You know, really what it comes
to. It really does. It really does. And it's after having been in the corporate environment for years and around the working world with people of all faiths. And I can tell you that the biggest transformer is to be that leader that sits there and listens to understand and then respond in like manner. Respond out of hearing that person and their needs, even if you don't agree with it, but you've heard them and you say, I hear you. And I understand, I think I understand where you're coming from, but maybe I need more information. Or you say, hey, I'm going to really look into that for you. And then you follow up with it. I tell you guys, that light right there, that love that was shown, that value that was shown, does more for quoting a scripture than ever could.
Right.
Because you're a living scripture then. You're the living word then when you actually back it up with action and you don't even have to say chapter and verse. And they say, why would you be so kind? Why would you do that for me? Just say, well, isn't that what you're supposed to do? Yeah. You know, that's love, or that's caring, or that's valuing who you are as a human being because you're worth it. When you say stuff like that, you are preaching the gospel. You are being the living word, you're demonstrating chapter and verse right there. We don't have to go around quoting it all the time. I just know that after being in denominationalism for years and then leaving it and coming out and having our eyes opened, I just know that whatever denomination you're a part of, there's a cloaking.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a covering, because we talk about coverings all the time in these worlds, these denominational worlds. That covering of understanding comes over you and it blinds you to the degree that they have their understanding in.
Yeah.
So if it's, quote, the first grade in the kingdom or religion, or the fifth grade or the 12th grade in religion, that's the covering that comes on them. And then they think they have the whole truth and nothing but the truth. When there is a whole big new world out there and there's greater levels that never end of truth, but yet we cap them in this thing called denominationalism. And then you walk out of that place into the world with chapter and verse and a big fat King James Bible in your hand, and you say, this is the truth. And you need to accept it, or you're going to fry, or you accept it, or you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah. You know, I would encourage you, if you are so adamant in your stance on the written word and the King James Version or whatever version you're clutching to, just encourage you, if you really, really want truth, then don't just be blindly holding on to it because it's what you've been taught through your, you know, pastors all growing up, the word. Take responsibility again for your own personal walk with the Lord and ask him to start revealing to you, you know, is there more to this? And I'm sure you are, but take a look of what you're clutching and holding on to so much, that there has been so many different translations. And a lot of the translations we have, you know, I'd say apart from like the newer ones, like the Mirror or the Passion Translation, a lot of the ones, they were written back in the Dark Ages, and you had a whole thing of an angry God and Zeus and translators added in the word hell, which wasn't even originated in before that.
In
if
the
you
Old
go
Testament.
Back and study, there's just a lot of things that were added in, taken out, books that weren't even, you know, then you got Constantine came in, he took a bunch of the books out that had all the supernatural mystical things. A lot of people are afraid of mystical, that word, when it really just means seeker of truth, a seeker of things of the spirit, seeker of the mystery. You know, there's just, so we're clutching on blindly when we do this to scripture, not knowing or having the awakening thought that why have we as humans put an end cap on this written word? And not been willing to allow for new, fresh revelation to come through, because God is ever enfolding us. Because it's like trying to cap a 3-year-old saying, you never can grow past this point. you can never, you know, it's crazy. We as human beings, we're unfolding from them to mm-hmm. all the way to the day that we die, and even past that, because we're eternal beings, so we're ever expanding, ever growing. So anyway, you know.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm just reminded while Amy was talking about this, is just going back to what we don't know.
Right.
Okay, we don't know what we don't know. So we were taught that if we ever went outside of certain church circles that we were involved in, that we would be deceived, we would be listening to lying spirits, that we would hit the brick wall and we'd become running back as the devil would chew us to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
All of these threats and lies, right? And just because you wanted to maybe go to another meeting of something that was outside that denomination, it became that crazy. And depending on who the leader was, then, you know, and their understanding would depend on to the severity of that, quote, punishment, right? Or the threat of thereof. And so when you think about this, what you don't know, what you don't know, I just remember going back to when the computers first came out, I told my mom there were big old clunky things that were $2,500, and it was the very first DOS computer came out in the 90s. I said, I'll never touch that thing. Now, why did I say that? I said that because I was afraid. If I'm really honest, I was afraid of something new.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that new technology.
You feel incompetent.
I felt incompetent because I'm like, this is language that I have no idea about.
I don't have a grid for this.
Yeah, and so I just said no. My answer was no. See, oftentimes, the most amazing blessing that sits before us, because the computer, we all know, actually became a tremendous blessing to all of us.
And you even got prophetic words, pursue the internet.
Yeah, even at around the same time, but before, when the internet just began, I was getting words like pursue the internet, pursue international communications on the internet. And I was just like, what is that? You know? And all the time I'm resisting the new. I'm resisting this revelation of truth that was right before me, this monstrosity that covered the entire planet.
Yes.
And some of you might just focus on the negative. Well, I'm not on there either because it's negative.
It's dangerous.
It's dangerous, you know. Well, anything is.
It's all about intention.
Yeah, anything is. Walking across the street is.
So get rid of all your kitchen knives because those are dangerous.
Exactly.
Don't cut yourself an apple or a slice of watermelon this morning. Yeah.
So I'm sitting there going, no, no, no. And that's what we do in denominational thought is, this is my church. This is my four walls. My pastor has the truth. And this is the cutting edge. You know, we're at Bethel, and nothing against Bethel, but we're at Bethel. So this is a cutting edge music. This is cutting edge worship. Well, that's just one level. How many more levels of beauty can come out of the realm of heaven? It's endless.
Yeah.
It is absolutely endless. As good as some of this music can be, there's always more. And so why limit ourselves? And so that's what we're talking about, you guys. So if we just take one chapter and or one little verse that has a truth in it, well, how much illumination can come upon that one line? Well, it's endless if you have conversation and a listening ear with the Lord in that. It's endless because it can expand and grow in your understanding to where you're like, oh, that's what that meant 10 years after you read the first line. 10 years later, it could have completely different meaning. Why? Because you've matured and you've grown. Or even outside of the Bible. Like, imagine if Steve Jobs said, here's the truth. I'm stopping right here at the first Apple computer, that big box thing. Remember the first one? It was this red or blue big box television looking thing when the first Apple computer came out. Some of you know what I'm talking about. What if you just said, oh, that's all the truth there is? That's it. Just this box right here. Well, we wouldn't have the iPhone that we're actually speaking into right now and recording this. You wouldn't have the phone in your hand. You wouldn't have the laptop. So it's always progressive.
Yeah.
It's always progressive, and it's always unfolding and expanding. The kingdom and the leaven of the kingdom is never ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, remember, the Lord said perfect love casts out fear. And so if we can start approaching things a lot more in life with love, that'll cast out this fear of being deceived and all this kind of stuff. You got to trust. At what point do we trust God in us, leading and guiding us and revealing to us whether something is true or not? You know, he just said, taste and see. Taste it. Test the fruit of each thing. How hard, again, how hard is it to tell if a piece of fruit is ripe or not, or if it's good or bad? And so we've got to dial this down to simplicity again, of just letting love be your gauge. And is it light? Is it light or is it dark? Is it loving or is it fearful?
Yeah.
And bring things back to simplicity instead of complicating things to where we get paralyzed with fear and then we go into, you know, fight, flight, or, you know, survival, freeze. And just responding to everything like that in life. And, you know, remember the Lord said, I did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. How do you have a sound mind when you're in fear, when you're in rage, when you're in anger? You can't think straight. And they've scientifically proven this. All the blood leaves out of your head when you're angry and you cannot think straight. So
that's, oh man, know that to be true. But, you know, it's like Amy was saying, anything, really, anything that we take a stand on and we say, that's it. And we block ourselves off.
Yeah, absolutes.
Absolutes. You know, we know there's some absolutes. Jesus coming and dying and all of that is absolute. That happened. That actually happened. So we know that. But there's so much in life that's not. There's so much in life. I mean, imagine telling a four-year-old all there is at your age is absolutes. This is it. This is it. 4 years old. You're not going to grow beyond this. This is the truth of your life. Well, a four-year-old, first of all, is not going to comprehend that because they're always adventurous and curious, and their curiosity is going to take them immediately out of what you just said. So because their mind is full of wonder, and they're designed to explore and grow and have fun and create and, you know,
discovery.
And so it's just not, we're just not built that way. We're not wired that way. But why do we do it? Because we want to feel
programmed.
Safe.
We've been programmed.
Yeah, we've been programmed to feel, even though it's not really safety, we want to feel safety by absolutes. So if I have this formula, then I'll feel safe and secure and everything's going to be okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Life just doesn't work that way. But that's why Jesus said, if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. You'll actually have safety. Meaning, if you just let go of your intellect, if you'll just let go of your formula creation, if you'll let go of your own level of understanding and lose yourself in oneness with me, you are going to find the center of life. You're going to find safety and peace in me. It's the only place.
Yeah. You know, at the end of this, is what's the question going to be? You know, Jesus is going to say, did you know me? Or did you know the written word by man's perceptions and their translators, you know? He's wanting that intimacy. And, you know, we have a responsibility to do our part in cultivating that with him, as you would with any other relationship. You know, we can't just read all the books about a, you know, famous basketball player or whatever, you know, and act as though we know them. We don't know them intimately. They're, you know, and God is like, I opened my house. My door is open. Come get to know me. And it's only through the doorway of childlikeness, really. If we come with all of our big-headed intellect and religious backing and training and teaching, we will miss the door. We'll hit our head on the wall because the door is the size of a child.
Oh, that's good. It's good. And think, again, you guys, we are not against the Bible. Yes. That's not what this is about. We love what's in there. But again, it's a beautiful story in parts of it. Other parts, you kind of got to go, okay, did God write that? Like Shane Willard says, mm-hmm. did God write that? No, he didn't write that. That was a level of understanding through a person writing down what they knew to be true as a God-breathed truth at that moment in time.
Yeah.
And so it's just the
truth.
It was a progressive unveiling and unfolding, and things got better from Genesis all the way up to the New Testament, and they keep getting better.
Right.
Because Jesus said it is finished. So when Jesus said it's finished, that means that now we have life in him in our everyday moment-to-moment experience. Mm-hmm. When that happens, then it makes the scripture even more beautiful, because now you have a level of truth that can interpret that scripture from
within you,
without defensive mode, without being in defense. And when we're in defense, then we kind of get rigid, right? Instead of being fluid like water and flexible, but like the Spirit, and saying, okay, what does this mean to me right now? Does this have any relevance to me right now? Because I'm always living and moving and having my being in him. What does that truth mean to me now? And, right. You know, we have found that God speaks a whole lot of truth aside from chapter and verse because of things like, hey, this is your life mate. Hey, isn't that a beautiful home? Wouldn't you like to have that? Hey, this is what you say right. In the moment of managing in your workplace. There's no chapter and verse involved in that.
It's inspired.
It's inspired in the moment. That is the living word.
The sons of God are led by the Spirit. You know, here's a trigger gauge. You know, when Jesus said, you have no need that any man teach you. How does that sit in you? Do you start panicking and freaking out, needing to reach for scripture? Do all the messages from your pastor rise up in you? Or can you totally rest in Jesus, the one you're following, his statement right there alone, say, yes, because you're in me, I'm in you, I can be led by you one-on-one. I don't need a mediator anymore. I'm in. I can be led by you, by your Spirit, every day, moment by moment, unfolding by unfolding, fresh new revelation. I mean, you know, mercy's new every morning. It's a real, intimate, you know, tangible relationship. You know, isn't that what you really want? I mean, why are we in this?
See, and this is why, you guys, and some of you know this to be true. This is why when you hear of somebody walking away from Jesus or walking away from the faith, what they're really walking away from is the formulas and the doctrines and the dogmas surrounding that belief, surrounding that faith. They never really had what Amy just said. If you have an intimate, close relationship and you know the one of the book, then you couldn't say, I've walked away from Jesus. No, you walked away from that version of Jesus that was actually a religion and a doctrine or a theology.
Of an angry God.
Of an angry God or some man's doctrine, right? And so then you walk away and say, now I'm atheist. Or you walk away and say, now I don't believe in that stuff anymore. Well, maybe, like we've said before, all you had was chapter and verse. You never had the word himself intertwined in oneness and in union with your life. Now that's between you and God, and we're not knocking anybody's experience here. Maybe you had some real trauma in religion land. And so now you've got to walk away from everything that represented that to find the word, to find the word himself and have that real encounter with him, which is a beautiful thing. And so you said, oh, I need to walk away from all of that. Some people get so, and I've been this way, I get so fearful, like, oh my gosh, they just said they walked away from Jesus. Well, did they really?
Or they just left the church.
Yeah. Did they really? Well, maybe they never really knew, like we just said, who he was aside from religion. The non-religious version of Jesus. Then they got turned
off even more when they went into religion.
Exactly. Exactly. And so we can't.
So their search continues because there's something not resonating right in their spirit with what they're experiencing.
Exactly.
And that's true. Look at even the Lord. Look what the Lord did. He came in there with the whips and said, "How dare you make my, you know, father's home a place, you know, of the marketplace thieves. And thieves and, you know, agendas and all these different things." He wouldn't even clear the temple. But it's like, anyway, I mean, of course, that was that version, but it's, we all have his spirit in us.
Yes.
You know, all died in Adam, all were come alive in Christ. That means all of us. It's just some of us are waking up and some of us are still asleep, but we all have his spirit knitted and hidden in us. It's just, we're made up as a body, soul, and spirit. So our souls are waking up. But our spirit is there. And that's why people know deep down and they're feeling this pull and this draw to awaken and to discover God. And
they're hungry like never before.
And they know, everybody knows if something is, if genuine, is this loving? Is this genuine? Oh, I feel so good around this love. Versus, this tastes a little sour, you know, something's off here. This is not resonating with me of what I know love looks like.
That's so good. It just reminds me. It's so funny when we remind each other when we're just sharing and listening to what Amy's saying. It sparks another, pulls up another facet of this. And this is what dialogue is for, you guys. So that these diamonds can pop up and you remember. Yeah. He brings all things to remembrance. So it's like when you just sit and listen and you're listening to the other individual, something else will come up in that conversation that's brought to the table without you thinking of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you, here's, in conversation, you have it two ways. You can listen to understand and then God brings this God story up or some revelation, right? Or you can listen and you're not really listening because you just have something else on the tip of your tongue. Agenda. Yeah. An agenda to interject. You're just waiting for the person to be done so that you can interject what you always wanted to say to begin with, right? And we all know that that doesn't work. Been there, done that. It just doesn't work. We're all growing. But anyway, she's sharing, and I'm reminded of a guy that I work with. He's a sales director, and this is a fascinating case study or story here because he's a cowboy guy, he's a country guy, and he doesn't really have a religion or a faith, but yet he believes in God. Kind of like the country music world, how they're God-fearing, but they may not know what that really means. And I'm just saying this in general. Like, they may not know who Jesus really is or anything. They may not have that conversion experience or whatever. So James is kind of like that. And this sales director. And so he dated this woman that he met at a country bar. And they hit it off. And he was really attracted to her. And you know, he was talking about her day in and day out, like, oh yeah, we're even talking about marriage, you know, a couple months in, and how their kids met. They both have kids from other marriages, and how everything's just going great, and he's on cloud nine. And then I leave that particular community and go out of state to work at another community in the senior living world, and then I come back a few months later, and then James is just all depressed. So I'm like, what happened? And he goes, well, you know, nothing's working out really. I mean, this, you know, this girl said, well, she doesn't want to be with me because I don't know Jesus. And I said, oh, really? What do you mean? And she goes, well, yeah. She goes, she asked me, do you know Jesus? And he goes, well, I don't know. Maybe, or if I don't, I'd like to,
yeah, you know? He was open.
And he was totally open to it, right? And she's like, well, I got to have a man that's a strong believer and believes in Jesus. all this. And so she was really resistant then, you know. She put up this wall, and he's like, well, I just told you I'm open. And she goes, no, I've got to go find somebody that is. And he's like, well, I'm open, you know, to like listen to what you have to say. I'm open to going to church, whatever, you know, whatever you do. And she just wouldn't have it. She's like, no, you're not a believer. So then he's sitting there watching her life, right? And so...
And here she'd been dating him for months. Here she'd been dating months. They've so been, kind they, of leading you know, him on then.
Yeah, they've been sleeping together, you know, drinking and all these kind of things, right? All the things that anyway, so then, you know, time goes on a little more. And I said, hey, whatever happened to Kate, you know, the girl that you were seeing? And he goes, oh, man, I caught her sleeping with this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy. You know, several guys already. And I go, oh, that's interesting. And he goes, yeah, it's really interesting considering she says she's a Christian and all, you know. what's up with that? And I go, yeah, you got a point, James. What's up with that? And then we just kind of left it, right? And then I'm just waiting for that door. If it ever comes open, fine. If it doesn't, I'll leave somebody else to kind of help nurture that seed, right, that's been planted in James. The point is...
But he knows you're a believer.
He knows that. He knows I'm a believer, and so he can ask any question he wants. But the point is, what am I living it, first of all? I have to ask myself that every day, but not in a being hard on myself way, but hey, what kind of light am I being? That's number one. But number two is, the point of the story is, okay, this person is claiming to be a Christian and forcing it on him or else, yet he's open, and then she's not willing to go there because he hasn't been a believer for a while or some whatever her reason was. It's like, you don't do this, and you don't do this, and you don't do this, so therefore you're out. How many times do we do that? And yet we're living hypocritical lives, right? We say, you need to believe like me, act like me, think like me, or you're done. You know, we carve this trench around our denominational thinking or our religious thinking. And if somebody doesn't add up, they're out. You stay on the other side of that moat over there. Here's the waterway.
Yeah, it just becomes
and you can't come across until you do this, 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 and this, and this.
Yeah, it just becomes a tangled survival mess. I mean, if you think about it, when you've got all these rules and regs and just policies, religious policies and all this stuff, it just makes your life so rigid. There's no flow. Where with God, it's the Trinity dance. He's all about the ebbs and flows in the moment. Just stay in his hold like a dance partner, and he will give you the leads and prompts for you specifically in your specific life and plan, not anybody else's. That's his dance with them. But that's why we can't take a book. Okay, we can't take the Bible and apply, you know, scriptures to every, you know, it just doesn't work. Some of those scriptures were for that period of time, for that specific group, and you can't take that and apply it to your now situation that's completely different, with completely different people in it, and a different era of living. And so it's just, I'm telling you guys, life will be so much more refreshing for you and easy. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, you know, and I don't even like the word burden in there. You know, it's like translators, it's mistranslated. Come on. Yeah. My hug, my arm around you is easy. Yeah. And my hold, you know, is light. You know, I'm
living with me and dancing with me is light, because I'm the lead, and all you do is stand on my feet and follow. It's not even get this step right, get that step right. No. What does a child do? He stands on daddy's feet.
Yeah.
And daddy does the moving. You ever stand on your dad's feet or your mom's feet when you're a little kid, and then they walk around with you?
So he's just saying, be flexible.
Yeah. It's,
be flexible. Don't, you know, like Proverbs, don't harden your neck so it's not broken without remedy. Don't stiffen your neck. Don't
and
stiffen
that's
your limbs.
Stiffen your neck, intellect. They sound the same, don't they? They sound like neck, intellect.
Mm-hmm. Academics, anyway. All that kind of stuff. Get out of your head.
out of our head and into our heart, because it's heart-centered relationship. Yes. That's what it's all about.
Hear the heart of this message, guys. Get out of your head if you're feeling blocked by this message.
Right.
You'll know, like, where you're listening. Are you listening to this message from your heart or your head?
That's just what it is. And it's, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing when you have any book, any story that has truth in it. You know, if you've read biographies, autobiographies, and they have truth about that person's life, but it, like Amy said, it doesn't mean you know that person.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to read about them. It's another to have this wonderful intertwining of oneness. That's why he said a father and mother leave their father and mother and become one. You become one when you get married. You become one when you allow the oneness to take place in you by the Spirit, and then it becomes the beautiful dance.
Mm-hmm.
And then truth starts being illuminated that you never saw before in the written scripture and outside of it. Then you're like, okay, everything I live and move and have my being in him,
yeah,
he's going to reveal to me as truth and what's not true. But just because something's not true in the moment doesn't mean it doesn't become truth later.
That's right. So I have a question for you guys. Can you trust your good shepherd to lead you outside of the pen, outside of the safety? Because my sheep know my voice. Now remember, that whole analogy came from where all the shepherds would bring their different flocks into the city, and the sheep would all stay together in one pen, and the shepherds would come out the following day and call each one of their flocks, and the sheep that were that shepherd's flock would come because they knew his voice, and the other sheep that weren't, they didn't recognize the voice. And so my sheep know my voice, and so the Lord is calling us, trust my voice. Just be led by me. Don't feel like you need the securities of this pen. Don't be penned up. Don't be penned up. Trust my voice. Follow my voice. Come out into the great unknown, wherever he is leading you specifically. And let go of that security, because he is your protector. He's your good shepherd.
And she's not talking about the pen being the Bible.
Yes. Okay?
She's talking about the pen being people's understanding of what that Bible says.
Yeah, or anything we're afraid of.
Yeah, anything that we're afraid of. Okay, the Bible is beautiful when it's left to the interpretation, the understanding of a person or people that are one with the Word himself.
Yes.
Then it becomes a beautiful thing. And life outside of that becomes a beautiful thing.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
And guys, this is a big subject. We understand that. We know that people can get offended over this, because I have been in the past when somebody went outside or contradicted because I thought I knew everything. You know, I thought I knew the Bible chapter and verse, line upon line. And how arrogant was I? How egotistical was that kind of thinking? Thinking, well, and think about this real quick before we wrap it up. When we defend and stand on scripture like that, as if we know it all, think about how big-headed that is when we go, well, that's not in the Bible. Well, how do you know it's not in the Bible? Do you know every single chapter, line upon line, and verse? Well, yeah, I've read the Bible 100 times, John. Well, okay, so that makes you an expert. That makes you a know-it-all. That makes you know the entire Bible.
Right. And well, then yes, what translators? Then you pick and choose the translators you want too, which all say different things.
Exactly. So which translation is the truth of what you've just memorized in your 100 times of reading the Bible? You know, what I mean, think, this gets kind of ridiculous when you start unraveling it, right?
And were those translators spirit-filled? Were they not spirit-filled?
Oh, man. Some of them weren't.
What era did they live under? Did they live under the Dark Ages? Did, you know,
exactly.
Were they believed in an angry God with lightning, you know? And so
it's their interpretation, their paradigm at the moment that they wrote it.
God breathed? Like.
Yes. Does it mean that it's a totality of the truth of the person writing it through them? No. Because in other words, if I'm writing, say I'm Paul, and I'm writing down the story of what I encountered, And the part of Jesus I knew in the 3 years that he walked the earth, and by the way, he wasn't with him the entire 3 years. And so he wasn't with him every second of every moment of every day. So all those things that Paul did not witness are not written down in Scripture. That's why Jesus said the books of the world couldn't contain the things that I did. So when Paul's with him, let's say 8 hours a day, well, the other part of the day and night, what did Jesus do aside from, remember, they didn't have cameras, they didn't have internet, they couldn't see all and know all. So he's writing down a revelation of what Paul witnessed and what others witnessed about Jesus. So he's writing these words down of the revelation they knew. But you got to remember, you guys, Paul came out of a strict law mindset. He was the master of the law in his time frame, in his day and age. And so he's writing from a perspective of part law, part life in Christ and freedom and life in Christ and grace. Part law, part grace. Law, grace, law, grace. And so he's writing this down. That's why he said, I'm the wretched man that I am. I struggle. I struggle.
Things I want to do.
Yeah. So he's struggling with what? He's struggling with the intellect and the law-driven mindset.
Unraveling.
Unraveling.
The deconstruction.
Into the grace of living in oneness and in union with Jesus. And so
the Spirit coming alive.
He's writing these things down oftentimes while he's sitting in waist-high dung in a prison cell and he's being in torment. So you got to really look at this for what it is.
Right. Is That's he inspired? All we're asking.
Yeah. Is he inspired to write this? Of course he is. Just like you're inspired to sing a song, yeah, to write a book, to create an art piece, to start a business. Oh, John, that's not the same thing. That's a holy sacred book. Well, so are you.
That's right. You're in him. He's in you.
That's right. That makes you holy and sacred as well.
Yeah. And I just one more thing to just consider too is, remember back in the day, barely anybody had the written word, you know?
Yep.
So then that's kind of excluding people, wouldn't you say? Like, oh, well, then they can't believe because they don't have the written word. You know, they're not an all the way Christian. You know, all these disciples, all these followers of Christ that didn't have a piece of the written word. So therefore they couldn't be fully saved yet. Or so it's like, what did they do? It's kind of, you know, ostracizing or, you know, isolating them.
Yep.
Saying, oh, they can't fully be believers because they don't have this little piece of written scripture that I got from Paul or from Timothy or from Peter, you know? And so what did they do? You know, what about Cornelius? He didn't have any written word. Yeah. He was a Gentile, but God was shining on him and, you know, brought Peter to inspired Peter by the Spirit to go and talk with him. And what was holding Peter back was a written word, that written scripture.
Exactly.
Was holding him back. And remember, the Lord challenged him. This is what you believe the interpretation of this was.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you now.
Yeah, just like
Jesus
said.
Don't call what is unclean, unclean.
There you go. Jesus came to rock the boat of this mindset we're talking about. He came to completely dismantle and deconstruct and disrupt a system that, yeah, held man captive. And
that,
so that's why they wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
It was man that put Jesus on the cross. We've said this a lot. It's not God's wrath, yeah, against himself.
Right.
Think about it. They're, mm-hmm, one, and he's going to, okay, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to put me on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. It was man that put him on there.
Yeah.
So
that cut their, that they were blocking their hearts. So this is the challenge. This is the thing we're saying.
Yeah.
Listen, come back into your heart centeredness. Live from a place of heart centeredness and connection. That your spirit and heart are connected. Live from there. Your mind is full of just a bunch of recorded documents, pulling files of past experiences and things you've learned. Your mind doesn't hold the future. Your spirit and heart do. And so,
yep,
God is asking us all the time, live from your heart. Live from your spirit. Trust me there.
Yeah. So think about this as we as we end this message here, I know we ended a couple times, but we got it's so good to talk about it. But think about this: at any time during this message, if you felt upset or you wanted to defend through scripture, okay, we would just ask that you go back to the Lord and say, what about what they just said? See, this is listening to understand rather than thinking of all these scriptures to contradict what we just said, okay? If you're thinking of chapter and verse, well, that's not in the Bible, John. That's not in the Bible, Amy. I can't believe you just said that. Or, man, I'm really wrestling with that. That's fine to wrestle with something. Maybe it's a new thing to hear what you just heard, or maybe you're going, amen, that's right, I believe that. Whatever, wherever you're at in your maturity or your understanding, we would suggest, you can do what you want, but we would suggest that you just go back and say, what about that? Is there, I really want to understand where they're coming from, right, Lord.
And hear our heart, you guys.
Yeah, and so what about that? Can you unveil or illuminate truth to me? However you want to say it to the Lord. And he'll show you. He'll show you exactly what it is that you need to glean from this, and what life is like with him moving forward, living and moving and having your being in him as a person, the Word himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Uh-huh. That is not scripture on parchment.
And we were within him
before he is the Word, yeah, himself. And we were in him from the foundation of the world before anything was written down on paper. So anyway, I hope that helps some of you in just your relationships and talking with others and sharing the good news of the gospel or just being a listening ear. I think we would transform this planet much, much faster if we would just sit and listen. And without words at all, we could let presence take over and transform human to human, yes, humanity all over the planet.
Releasing love out of your pores, you know, releasing your spirit.
Yep.
They're feeling your spirit hold them, you know, when you're listening.
Yep.
So it's, yeah. Anyway, you guys know that. But wrapping up our little morning nuggets here, but thanks for listening, you guys.
Thank you.
We appreciate you all much, and stay tuned for the next one.
Yes.
Love you all.